on Christ. And we actually started out with the superiority of Christ. That was in Hebrews 7, 1 through 10. And then the following week, we hooked up with the sufficiency of Christ, Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. And then following that, we hit the surety of Christ, which was in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. This week, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 6, pardon me, beginning at verse 1, going to verse 14. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1 and going to verse 14. If you would, as soon as you have it, please stand. I'm reading. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For who has died? For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Amazing. For a title to our short words this morning, sin's power has been broken. Sin's power has been broken. We see Paul opens up his writings in Romans 6 with a rhetorical question. It is a question asked with an answer that's already in view. In light of all the previous chapters, he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? There were some who were following Paul that said, man, you too free with your teaching. You don't have no constraints with your teaching at all. You're not requiring nobody to be circumcised. You're not requiring them to keep the law. You're just telling them that Jesus is enough. And I don't think that's quite right. So Paul kind of says to them that what shall we say to this then? Grace is enough to what? Save you. All the things that happened previous to that really were just a shadow and a type of what was coming. Now the priests all the time did sacrifices and they slaughtered animals and all that type of stuff. And it wasn't a one-time thing. It was a repeated issue. But it was only a shadow of what was to come. And the scripture says that Jesus died to sin once and for all, period. Paul says, shall we continue in sin, knowing that grace is great? He says, no. Paul gives us a principle that says while in a relationship, you are bound by that relationship until death separates you or frees you to serve another. Let's go to Romans, the next chapter over, verses 2 to verse 4. Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 2, going to verse number 4. And it's an interesting thing. He says in verse number 2, while you're going there, he says, no, by no means should you continue to sin that God's grace may abound. And he says, now, if you are dead, how in the world can you continue to sin? Interesting. Romans 7, beginning at verse 2, going to verse 4. Somebody read that for me. Romans 7, beginning at verse 2, going to verse number 4. Interesting. The principle is there are relationships. Paul uses a marriage as a relationship to tell the hearers that if you are in a relationship with someone, have a covenant with something, you are bound to that thing unless one of the parties has died. And if one of the parties have died, you are no longer responsible to that party because you're out of that relationship, right? It has been broken. Let me say something to you. Since you have been saved out of your sin nature, you were kind of hooked. Billy was here. Sin was over here. But something happened when you were saved by God. By Jesus Christ. God saved you. You were dead with him and you got up again, but something stayed in the grave when it died. That was my old nature, or the power of that old nature. Now, since that has happened, I'm no longer responsible to respond to those knocks on the door by my old sin. You understand what I'm saying? My relationship now, or the power it had over me, is no longer there. Now, Was I totally redeemed? I'm being sanctified. That's what's happening. I'm being sanctified and I'm being drawn closer and closer to God. Now, what I'm not saying that you'll never sin. But if you do sin, you do have an advocate. What I'm trying to tell you is that you no longer have to say when sin says jump, you don't have to say how high no more. You understand what I'm saying? You no longer, when it's time, when somebody get on your last nerve, you don't have to blaze out no more. Now, if something's in the ground dead, why in the world am I still acting like it's resurrected? If it has died, let it stay dead. I refuse to go back to the grave and dig it up no more, Pastor. If I'm free, I'm free. I'm here today to remind you again. That's all. And to encourage you that whatever you left in that grave, leave it there. On my job, you can't push me to go back and dig that thing up no more. If I'm at home, my husband or wife, you can't get me to get back to that grave site no more. If that other part is dead, I am free now to do what? To live a righteous life. To live a righteous life. Verses 3 through 5, Paul reminds them of whatever you were baptized. Baptism itself is a source of identification, period. When you join a church and we take you in and you do your classes and you know exactly that God has saved you, we are baptized. Baptism is a symbolic thing. It mirrors what the Spirit of God does on the inside. We go down in the water, completely immersed. We come out of the water, raise up, like as if we had been resurrected by God himself. We are now upright, and we're walking in the newness of life. That's what the Bible calls it. So it's just a mirroring of what the Spirit of God has already done on the inside of me. Now, if that's the case, I don't need to go back no more. This is not my grave site. X marked the spot. Sorry, brother. I actually moved your mic. Sorry. X marked this. This is now where I was dead and I've been resurrected from. And no matter how you push me, Sister Marilyn, I'm not going back there no more. I'm not saying she's pushing me there, but I won't let you push me back there no more. Now, freedom, at last, we now have freedom to walk in a whole new direction. The word united in verse 5 carries the thought of being planted together in his death. Now, when you drop a seed in the ground, Sister McCauley, boom. Oh, sorry. Drop it in the ground, cover it up. It germinates. Whatever it grows out of is different than what you put in the ground. Now, if you now have been planted with Jesus Christ in the likeness of his death, whatever grows up out of that plant is different from what went in the ground. You catch me? Now, if you have been different and changed, I was at work, and I usually kind of keep the preacher thing on the down low, because when you tell people you're a preacher, pastor, sometimes they treat you a little different. I can't talk around you no more. So, I had one of my sermons on my phone. And one of the owners was out in the shop, and I was eating lunch, minding my own business, eating lunch. He looked over my shoulder and said, "Sermon? Billy, sermon? You a preacher?" I say, "Yeah, brother, I'm a preacher." And he said, "Oh, man." Head went down. And I said, "That's why I usually don't tell people, because they get out of their natural state and they try to act unnatural." And that went by, and another brother was in the shop. He was the first one I interviewed with, and he found out recently, not the same time the other guy did, and what's the name, Penny? He said, "You what?" And he had a wrench in his hand like this. "You say what?" And he stood. The wrench hit the floor. Now, I hope that was only because he was surprised because I didn't tell him, and not because my lifestyle doesn't exemplify who I am. Because whatever I do, since I've been planted, I'm up out of the grave, I want to live like Jesus. Anyway, the wrench hit the ground. And he said, "Is there anything else you haven't told me?" I say, "Brother, that's it. I just belong to Jesus." And then he had a comment about giving at church. I say, "Brother, listen, if your heart is not right on the inside, you may as well keep your money in your pocket." He said, "What?" "Yeah, if your money's not right, keep your cash in your pocket. Because when you've been planted and you've grown up, you are not selfish no more. You are now free to give." Well, anyway, I just had to tell you that because I was laughing all day. I said, "Lord, you got a sense of humor. I know you keep me. I know you send me where I need to be. And I hope I'm a great example for you." Now, my word to you is, since you have been planted and grown up, will a pen drop for you too? What does that mean when a pen dropped for you? Are they just surprised because you're a Christian? Or is it because you just didn't tell me? He still liked me too. I'm kind of scared. If God be for me, Pastor, he's more than the world against me. The result of my death with Christ is that the power of sin that used to control me, it would say jump, I'd say ha ha. But since Christ, I now by the power of the Holy Spirit, thank you, can now say no to sin and yes to righteousness. What does it mean that Jesus died once to sin? What does that mean? That he died once for sin and once for all. That means the death he died for me, for Adam's situation. It had messed me up. He died once and for all for that. And he did not need to die again because it was sufficient enough, his first death. Now, when the priests themselves did what they did, they were always bloody. They were always making sacrifices because it just wasn't enough to fix it up. But when God died, He died once and for all, period, for my sins. Therefore, I am safe because of the effect of his death. He don't need to die no more because it's finished. They say the Greek word is tetelestai. That means the accounts have been set right. I'm safe now. Just like Jesus died once to sin, so must you remember that the power of sin was broken in your life. And that you have an advocate with the Father. Not only was his death sufficient enough that he didn't have to die no more, but the evidence was that he moved into the holiest of holies and he seated with on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us continually. And I don't know about you, but I need all the intercession I can get. Now, in light of all these things that we've talked about, you are not obligated to sin, but if you do sin, you have an advocate. Go to 1 John, the first chapter, verse number 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John, first chapter, verse number 9. Now, we're going to mess up. And if anybody says we're not going to mess up, then they're making God a liar. And let every man be a liar and God be a truth teller. So when you mess up on the job, when I mess up and I don't look like who I'm supposed to mess up, the Bible says to me that I have confidence to go to God. Somebody read that for me. Come on, Brother Phil.
If we confess our sins,
whenever I mess up, this is just a memory course thing, if you would. When you mess up, go to God. The Bible says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive. And then to what? To cleanse from all unrighteousness. Not only is he going to fix me from my mess up, my sin, but he's going to take the weight off of me so I can be up, I can get up, and I can be effective now. And if somebody going to try to condemn me for my sin, they better watch out because it's Christ who died, the Bible says. Interesting to know, when I was in the world, my whole body was committed to my enterprise, which was sin. These fingers, hands, every appendage, everything had a singular purpose, was to, whatever sin did, my extremities and whatever was me was, yeah, I'm available for your use. Did you hear what I said? You were the same way. But since Jesus saved you, those things that used to be at the ready, Brother Phil, are now at God's bidding. Did you hear me? When sin said before, jump, I said, how high? I present all my members. Now when God says, it's time for you to go witness to somebody, I said, Lord, I'm right here. So sin no longer has power over me. It is now God who has the power. What about slaves? What are slaves, you all? Slaves must do what their master tell them to do. Must. Back in the U.S. history, our slavery days, if you didn't do what you were told to do, they whooped you up pretty good. Or they even killed you. Now, if God is really, if I'm really a slave to God, whatever he says do, shouldn't I be doing that? Shouldn't I give him equal billing? I gave my body to sin holy. Should I not give my body holy to God? Paul ends our section today, and I'm about through. Amen. Ends our section today with a reinforcement of the facts. We are not under the law. Interesting. Yeah. Amen. She must know the words coming next. The law itself can't save you. It can't get you where you need to be. It shows you where you are and how you can't get out of where you are. No matter how you try, you can't get out. But you keep seeing the law says you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do nothing about it. But I'll tell you the truth. Since Jesus came with the sacrifice that was enough, he saved us, and we're now free from the condemnations of the law. Because if you know anything about the law, if you miss one law, if you break one law, you broke everything and you're worthy of death. But he sent his son, and his son has lived the perfect life for me and you. And that's why we're free in Jesus. Remember. 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 That's all I'm here today. Remember. Sister Venice told me last week, I'm not going to tell the whole story. She busted me out. Not busted me out. She just talked to me nicely. Y'all know how she talked. Yeah. She said, it was encouraging what she said. Interesting. She said, what you was preaching kind of cut me deep. And I really wanted to tell her it cut me deeper. Because unless the preacher himself get cut deep, you don't deliver the message with no love. Because the same way he fixed me, he can fix you. And Sister Venice, I hope it's healed up now. Because that was interesting. Because anytime you enter the word of God, something should be done to you. Some surgery should be enforced. And the next week you get back, it's healed up, and another surgery. And before you know it, we write, we upright, and when they drop the pens from now on, you can know in your mind, I was living hardly. Remember. Remember. Sin's power has been broken. Past tense. You are free now. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If you listen, back in the slavery times, the Emancipation Proclamation, some people jetted out of there, sister. But some people just cheered what it was. But they were free. Interesting. Christians are free indeed, according to the scripture. And they still living like they shackled. My reminder to you is that you're free. Fly, little birdie, you're free now. Get out the cage, you're free now. Somebody gave a illustration of, they said, they were trying to get this bird out of this cage and the bird would not come out, although the door was open. And they say, man, if I could really become a bird and get there and do some bird talk, I could say, you're free now. Did you hear me? But you have already been told by the Spirit of God, you're free. Come on out, act like it. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for all you've done for us. You have freed us from the constraints of the law, freed us from the constraints of men, and you just set us free to be who you called us to be. Thank you that you have now made us able to render our members available for you. And now in the name of Jesus, help us now to be doers and not hearers only, so that we can again glorify your name. Amen.